Earlier in the week, I was in a conversation with some folks, and we were recalling our earliest Easter memories. The funniest one was recalled by Damian Cortez, who grew up in Corpus Christi, Texas, and recalls back in the 70s, an Easter weekend in which the city of Corpus invited all the kids in the city to come to a certain city park, and at a particular time, they promised that a helicopter would pass over the park, and an Easter bunny would drop Easter eggs out on all the kids who came. Hundreds of kids showed up, far more than anyone expected. And as promised, at a right time, here comes a helicopter, and leaning out of the helicopter was somebody wearing an Easter bunny outfit with buckets and buckets of Easter eggs and dumped them down on the kids. Well, turned the place into a mosh pit of chaos. Kids were on top of each other and fighting and scrambling, trying to get an Easter egg, many of whom got more bruises and cuts than they did eggs. They've not done it since. I guess the city council put an end to that. Maybe that's your history with Easter. Maybe it's been a time of hustle and bustle and scramble and travel and buying a new dress or going to see kids. And let's take a breath and let's remind ourselves that the real story of Easter has, forgive me, but nothing to do with Easter bunnies and nothing to do with a helicopter. Has everything to do with an empty tomb and our resurrected Lord. And a promise like this one: death has been swallowed up in victory. So glad that you're here today. Those of you in the West Auditorium, thank you so much. May the Lord bless you. Those of you watching online from all over the world, so grateful. We're all together in one church celebrating one resurrection. As we're working our way through some of the promises in the Bible under the theme Unshakable Hope, each week we're making this declaration. So wherever you are, I invite you to participate in this. Sit up straight, put your shoulders back, fill your lungs with air, your hearts with hope. Give an elbow to the person next to you in case they're dozing off. And say it like you mean it. You ready? Here we go. We are building our lives because His our hope. We do not. Or the pain. We stand. Amen. Have mercy upon us now, Father, as we seek just to receive your truth in the midst of a chaotic world. Forgive our speaker. His sins are many. Help us to see Christ, just Christ. Through Christ we pray. And all the church said, amen. Some years ago, I was called to the bedside of a dying man. I did not know Peter very well. But I knew that years of hard living had wreaked havoc in his body. But by this point, he had made peace with God through Christ, but his liver was in conflict with everything else, and he was dying. When his ex-wife called me, she was in the hospital room, standing next to him at his bed. She said, "Hurry, he's knocking on death's door." I did hurry, but he entered that door before I arrived. I recall walking into the hospital room, and it had a just-happened feel to it. She was still standing at the bed. His body was still in the bed. His hair was freshly matted back from her touch. There were perspiration beads on his forehead. There was an imprint of a lipstick kiss on the back of his left hand, just below the knuckles. When I walked in, she looked up at me and she said, "He just left." Exited, departed, moved on, passed away, passed on. But to where? In what form? And once there, what did he see? How was he? What did he know? What did he realize? Do we not long to know? Who in your life just left? And what happened when they did? When the beeping of the monitor connected to your grandma became a flatline tone? When the heartbeat in your womb ceased? When your spouse took a final breath? What happened in that moment? And what will happen in yours? You will have one, barring the return of Christ. Your lungs will exhale a final time. Your blood will still. And you will leave. You will move on. You will pass on. You will pass away. But to what? To where? The question is, what will we be after we die? It's a good question for Easter Sunday, isn't it? What will we be after we die? Answers vary. Some people say nothing. We won't be anything. We will decompose. We will decay. We will disintegrate. Death is just a dead end. Our works and our reputation might survive us, but we won't. Or some people say we just become ghosts, specters, phantoms, structured as a morning mist, pale as a snowdrift. Or some people say we'll become hawks or cows or a car mechanic in Kokomo. Reincarnation suggests that we return to earth in a different form, a different mortal body, either rewarded or punished for how we lived. Or some people say we're just a part of the universe. We're absorbed into the universe like a lake absorbs a raindrop. We become what we were before we were what we are, a part of the cosmic consciousness. Christianity, on the other hand, posits an exciting, wonderful idea. And that is, death has been swallowed up into victory. Death is not a dead end. Truly, death is just a transition to a wonderful life. According to the promise that we're going to look at today from the empty tomb, my friend Peter awoke in a world so wondrously better than this one that we wonder if God himself could have convinced him to return. We think that because as we look at the miracles of Christ, it seems that he performed thousands of healings, but only 3 resurrections, and we wonder if that's because he couldn't get any volunteers. This is the Christian hope. And this Christian hope is verified by the Easter miracle. Do you know the miracle? It was Sunday morning after the Friday crucifixion. The sky was dark and the disciples had scattered. As the Roman executioner awoke that morning, he might have been thinking about breakfast or getting a day off or what his next paycheck was going to be, but you can bet your sweet September he was not thinking about that Messiah he was in charge of crucifying on Friday. He had made sure that man was stapled to the cross with Roman spikes and pierced in the side with a Roman spear. The last thing he thought was that that man would ever live to see another day. But boy, was he wrong. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and, going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. And the angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you're looking for Jesus, who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen. Just as he said, come and see the place where he lay. So out Jesus marched, the cadaver turned king, with the death mask in one hand and the keys of heaven in the other. He has risen, said the angel, risen from the dead, not risen from a slumber, not risen from a stupor, not risen from confusion, not risen just in some imagination in our minds. No, he was physically raised, and those who saw him saw a physical body. The women who saw him could touch him. The apostles who saw him eat. They followed him around in his physical body. There was a time that after that he was seen by over 500 brethren at once. So this resurrection was no back alley allegation. It was a public actual occurrence witnessed by hundreds of people. So since we know what happens to Christ, then we can ask the question, upon death, what happens to Christians? What happens to those who put their faith, who align their lives and hearts with him? Well, because the tomb is empty, the promise of Christ is not. And that promise is summarized in 1 Corinthians 15:54. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Simply put, you trust Christ with your life, and he'll be in charge of watching over you in your death. And here's what's going to happen. When you die, if you're a Christian, your spirit will immediately enter into the presence of God. Your spirit will immediately enter into the presence of God, and you will enjoy conscious fellowship with your heavenly Father as well as those who have gone before. There are numerous verses that teach us this. One of these is from the pen of the Apostle Paul. He said, "We are confident, I say, and would prefer to be away from the body and what? At home with the Lord." I could have answered Peter's ex-wife when she said, "What happened?" by saying, "Well, Peter is away from his body, but he is at home with the Lord." It's an instantaneous translation of your spirit into the presence of God. Isn't this the promise that Jesus gave the thief on the cross? That beautiful story of the thief who placed his trust in Christ while dying on the cross. Christ turned to him as the two hung on the crosses. And he said, "Today you will be with me in paradise." Today, not someday, but today. So there's no soul sleeping. There's no purgatorial purging. There is a simple and immediate translation of the soul into the presence of God. This last Tuesday, this was experienced by Luis Vasquez, one of our members. I used to see him nearly every morning when I stopped for coffee. Heart condition has had him disabled over the last few months, and last Tuesday he coded 3 times and then passed. After the first time he coded, they brought him back, and his wife was brought into the room, and Luis was so tired, his voice was gone down to a whisper. He couldn't sit up. He could barely open his eyes, but when he did, he saw his wife, and here's what he told her. He said, "Come with me. It's beautiful." The immediate translation of the Spirit into the kingdom of God. So the soul of the believer journeys home instantaneously, but the body of the believer stays here for a time until the final resurrection, at a point known only to God and not disclosed by God to us. But at a point, your body will someday be called from the grave. What a sight that's going to be. All over the world, from the depths of the sea to hidden graves to public monuments, there will be a massive eruption, and people will be called, their bodies will be called and reunited with their spirits. Jesus said it. He said, "The dead will hear the voice of the Son of God. All who are in their graves will hear his voice," and look at this, "they will" what? "They will come out." Now, a lot of discussion about this goes on. Does this mean that this triggers a rapture and then a tribulation and then a thousand-year reign? Is this actually just the inauguration of a new kingdom? Can we save those questions for a time in which we have more time? And for this Easter Sunday, just mark this down. You will do what Jesus did. If you are in Christ, Christ is in you, and he will do again what he did in the tomb of Joseph of Arimathea. He will awaken you from within your tomb, wherever you are, however your body is. Don't worry if it's decomposed or not. God put it together once. He can put it together again. And he will bring you out of the tomb. Why? Because, the apostle said, our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, look at this, who will transform our lowly body. How many of you can relate to that phrase, lowly body? Oh, the aches and pains of these lowly bodies. You know, because of the aging baby boomers, we have more aging people on this planet than any time in history. Consequently, we're seeing the development of certain languages among senior citizens. Have you seen this? This is the senior citizen text code. BFF, best friend fainted. BYOT, bring your own teeth. CBM, covered by Medicare. FWB, friends with beta blockers. LMDO, laughing my dentures out. And GGPBL, gotta go, pacemaker battery low. No one gets younger. We're all getting older. Somebody just offered a silent amen. Your body is so tired. So worn, the joints ache, the stiffness sets in. Though you take those vitamins and try to exercise, it just seems like you're fighting a losing battle. You know, the Bible calls this body a tent. And if you've ever camped in a tent, you know that tents grow bare, and sometimes the cold wind can blow in, and those tents can begin to tilt. Maybe your tent is tilting. Then again, maybe it always has. Maybe your hearing has never been good. Your eyesight has never been crisp. Your walk has never been sturdy. Your heartbeat has never been steady. You look around and you see people enjoying day after day of good health. Oh, what you'd give for just one good day of good health. All these wheelchairs, all these stethoscopes, all these doctor visits, hospital stays. If you never had another one for the rest of your life, you'd be happy. What you'd give for just one day of good health. If that describes you, then receive deeply this promise from the book of Philippians. Let me finish the passage. Yeah, I stopped at the phrase lowly body, but it really goes further. Listen. For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body that it may be conformed to what? To his glorious body. I don't quite get all of that, but I do know that the glorious body of Jesus Christ that stepped out of the tomb of Joseph of Arimathea is the model. Your body will follow. You will be like Christ. You will have a glorious body. Other translations of that same verse. He will take these dying bodies of ours and change them into glorious bodies like his own. Another translation. He will transfigure these wretched bodies of ours into copies of his glorious body. The New English Bible says he will transfigure the body belonging to our humble state and give it a form like that of his own resplendent body. Your body is God's idea. And there's nothing in the scripture that would think that this body is going to forever be dead and buried. No, this body will be resurrected. And Adam and Eve in their glorious bodies demonstrated what our bodies will be like before they fell. No shame, no pain, no thorns, no difficulty, no struggle, a new kingdom in a new body. And as you're imagining what it would be like to have a new body, imagine what it's going to be like to be in a restored universe. A time in which the wolf will live with the lamb, the leopard will lie down with the goat, the calf and the lion and the yearling together, and a little child shall lead them. Isaiah takes on the pen of a poet here and describes what the universe, the world, the cosmos is going to be like. Finally at peace. I have read that there has never been a decade since the beginning of recorded history that somewhere, a war hasn't been taking place. We've always been at war with each other, always at conflict with neighbors, with neighboring nations. There will come a day, however, in which the lion will lie down with the lamb. There will be peace, finally peace, no more struggle. There will no longer be any curse, writes the Apostle John. To say there's no longer any curse means there's no longer any sin, no guilt, no shame, no regret, no failure, no bitterness, no bigotry. The removal of the curse will return God's people to God and God's universe to its intended state. And finally, Satan, that old snake, that old tempter who does nothing but steal and kill and destroy, he will be cast forever into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. Amen. It's a good day that's coming. It's a good day. And in that moment, this promise will be realized. Death has been swallowed up in victory. This is the hope for the Christian. Now, I'd like to ask, have you made this your hope? Do you know your destination? Doesn't it make sense? I mean, just doesn't it make common sense that you know your destination? I've traveled quite a bit in my life. I've sat on hundreds of commercial planes and flights. I've struck up hundreds of conversations with fellow passengers. And I think every conversation, either I get asked or I ask a certain question. Anybody want to guess what that question is? Where are you headed? Where are you going? Doesn't it always get asked? I've asked it, and I've noticed something. Every single time the traveler to whom I ask the question can answer that. Every time. I have never, ever had somebody hear that question and look at me and say, you know, I hadn't thought about that. Where am I going? I've never had somebody say, oh, brother, I don't know. I'm just along for the journey, baby. Just enjoying the journey. Just enjoying the ride, man. I haven't had anybody get all, you know, intellectual on me and say, well, nobody can really know. Nobody. I mean, we might think we know, but look around, nobody really knows. Everybody knows. Everybody understands that the purpose of the plane is to get that person from one point to another, to the other. Do you understand, dear child of God, that the purpose of this life is not this life? It's not. If you think the purpose of this life is this life, then this life is going to stink. And you'll lurch from one disappointment to the other because this life won't satisfy your deepest longings. It never was intended to. The promise of God is that your deepest longings of community, of fulfillment, of purity, of joy, of knowing your Creator, knowing why you're here. These deep, deep longings of life, those will be realized in the next kingdom when Christ returns, when your body is reunited with the Spirit and this universe is made perfect like it was intended to. Your God loves you. He loves you with an everlasting love. And this love is made manifest in the fact that He issues you an invitation. Not a requirement, but an invitation. And that is, come. Come with me. It's beautiful. But He's ever the gentleman, and He will not force you to do this. And those who inhabit the next kingdom will be those who have had, in this life, said yes to the invitation of Christ. Have you? If you want to make sure you have, after my message, we're going to have an opportunity for you to pray with somebody and just make certain. If you have and you know it, then can I urge you, just stand on that promise. Just stand on it. And the next time that old body begins to creak and hurt, or the next time you stand at the graveside of somebody you love, just remember that death has been swallowed up in victory. I spent some time a few weeks ago in the office of a cemetery director. Another birthday had convinced me that I needed to make preparations. I realized I don't have a place picked out. And so I thought, I better go look at burial plots. And so I told Deanlin, and off I went, and I was surprised how much that dirt cost, to be honest. I mean, I'm not going to use it very long. But still, so I had this idea, and I told the cemetery director, I said, you're going to think I'm crazy, but I've got this idea. I'm wondering, would it be possible for me to record a message that could somehow be embedded into the gravestone so that if and when somebody comes to see my burial spot, I can tell them something. Maybe just they could push a button and hear my voice. Well, to his credit, he didn't think I was crazy. He actually said, I think I've heard of that. Let me work on it. And 3 or 4 days later, he called me. He said, I've got good news. There is a company that will take a recording device and encase it in a granite headstone. And you can have a button. You can record a message in your voice, and people can push a button and hear what you have to say. And so I think I'm going to do it. I'm thinking that somewhere beneath my name and the date of birth and date of death will be, maybe a red button. A red button that you push and says, for a message from Max, you know, press this button. And I've been working on it. I haven't finished it, okay? And I haven't recorded it. But I'm thinking it might sound something like this. Tell me what you think. You come up to the gravestone, there's the button, you push it, and you hear my voice saying this, thanks for coming by. Sorry you missed me. I'm not here. I'm home. I'm finally home. At some point, my king will call, and this grave will be shown for the temporary tomb it is. So you might want to step to the side in case that happens while you're here. Again, I really appreciate the visit. And I'm hoping you've made plans for your own departure. All the best, Max. Like I say, it needs a little bit of work for sure. But the promise, it's spot on. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Amen. Thank you, Lord, for this wonderful promise. And upon this promise, we renew our commitment, and to you, we renew our hearts. Gracious Father, stand with us as we look into the future. Remind us that you have promised that you will lead us through the valley of the shadow of death. And grant those who have never said yes to you the courage to do so, the wisdom to do so. We beg you, Father, call them to you. In Jesus' name we pray. And all the church said,